We will call the Rules Committee to order. It's March 15th. May 15th. I was looking at the March resolution. May 15th, 11:30 a.m. A quorum is present. Members, we have standard closing resolutions and then one in reference to the joint rules on conference committees. So the first one on the agenda is Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6. Mr. Byron, what are we doing here?
Mr. Chairman, as you said, this is the it's in the customary form for adjournment of each body for more than 3 days in order to determine the time for meeting in 2016. And this provides the date of Tuesday, March 8th, 2016 at 12 noon for the legislature to reconvene in 2016.
Any questions? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. March 8th, the significance of March 8th is to accommodate the construction in the Capitol. Do you think it will be, where do you think we'll be at that? Or could you tell me why March 8th rather than earlier in the year?
We will be well settled into the new building with our chamber there, temporary chamber there. The Speaker and I talked about really not much reason to meet before the February forecast comes out. And that generally comes out that first, we call it a February forecast, but it's usually sometime in that first week in March. I guess I've seen it as late as the 4th. I actually had suggested the 15th. The Speaker suggested the 1st, and we settled on the 8th. We didn't see a reason to come in before the February forecast.
The only concern I have, Mr. Chair, is we seem to be having trouble getting our work done by this deadline. Now we're going to be starting on March 8th with the same annual deadline. It'll be quite a challenge for everyone to get their work done.
Senator Limmer, it's a 10-week session, but it's not a budget year.
I've been through those before.
And there will be two breaks in there, members. For some reason, I don't know how the Passover Easter calendars line up, but they're actually about a month apart this year. In 16, and rather than normally being kind of almost in the same week, Passover I believe is in late March, so the intent would be we would take Thursday, Friday off, so that would be a short week in late March, and then Easter is in like the 20th of April ish. So the Speaker and I talked about taking a Friday and a Monday off for Easter, so that actually would mean that 4 of the 10 weeks of the session would be short weeks. So Senator Sieben moves that Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 6 be sent to the floor as a Rules Committee resolution.
I'm going to go.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senate Resolution Number 29. Council.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, again, this is a resolution that will be familiar to you. It's in the customary form, and it provides the authority and procedures for the conduct of Senate business and administration during the interim preceding the 2016 session.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this the identical resolution to what we've passed before with the dates being changed, or are there any things of note that would be different in this resolution from previous resolutions?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hand, it is identical, save for the dates.
Senator Hand moves Senate Resolution Number 29 be sent to the floor as a resolution from the Rules Committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 33. Members, this is something the Speaker and I discussed, and I believe my office discussed it with Senator Hand. I also discussed it with Representative Thiessen, and I believe the Speaker has discussed it with Representative Thiessen. I think up until about eight years ago or so, conference committees didn't have a midnight deadline. And somewhere there in the late 2000s, I think our most current rule revision on conference committees was, I think if you look in your desk, it's 09. I think, are the most currently revised joint rules on conference committees. In those rules, there was a provision put in that for conference committees can't meet past midnight unless they have, I think, a two-thirds vote to extend it 1 hour. The Speaker and I felt that if we were going to try and get out of here by 11:59 on May 18th, that it would be wise for us to suspend that rule so the conference committees could meet past 1 o'clock in the morning. That would apply to tonight, providing the House passes it. So apply to tonight, to Saturday night, and then to Sunday night. And I don't know how much could be left for Sunday night, just based on the fact that eventually things have to get to the reviser and they have their time that has to be built into the system also. But largely, I would say it's for Friday night and Saturday night. Senator Hannity.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yes, I did talk to the Speaker. Actually, he sent me a message last night asking about this, and I certainly agree if this will help get the work done on time. And maybe you could, if you have an opportunity here, to what do you think the likelihood is? Have you got in mind some schedule coming up in the next couple of days? Are we going to be in session tomorrow, Sunday? Is it going to be conference committees meeting? Are we? I think we're going to be in a place where we'll have an agreement.
What I learned last night in conversations I was having with the Speaker, I don't think his office fully understood the amount of time that the reviser needed, and that became pretty clear to me last night. Even though I had been kind of communicating what I thought the timeline was, I think the Speaker had some information from his office that wasn't along the lines of what history had told me it would take. So the Speaker and I actually met with Reviser Timmons this morning, and she did a very nice job of laying out what the reviser is capable of accomplishing. And I just will tell you, for instance, she said on the Health and Human Service bill, she said it's not an unusually large bill. It's 470 pages. She said it's got 14 articles. Sometimes they've had 20. But she said, even having said that, it will take 2 to 3 days for the reviser to do the HHS bill. She said that timeline could be compressed some if that conference committee would send her articles so that they could start working on pieces of the bill. So that will be the request that the Speaker and I make of the conferees in HHS as they start working article by article and start sending some pieces to the reviser so they can get started on that bill. The K-12 bill or E-12 bill, she thought that normally that's about a 12-hour bill for them to do, and then the other omnibus bills are smaller. What she cautioned us about is if we send the two largest bills, HHS and E-12, at the same time, that it makes it quite a challenge for them to work in any of the smaller omnibus bills at the same time they're working on the two largest ones. So I think the Speaker now has a good understanding from the reviser kind of what the mechanical challenges are in the final days of the session. So there is some real urgency, I think, in getting the budget targets resolved today so that, and I know many of the lead conferees have been kind of walking through trying to identify pre-conferee, you might say, to some point, some of the provisions. So I think
I don't have any muscles.
I think it might, I don't know if it's true for HHS, but I think it's true for just about everything else.
So, Mr. Chairman, are you anticipating floor sessions then over the weekend, or are we just going to let the conference committees work? And I guess I've had members ask me what the expectation should be. Some of them have graduations that they'd like to attend. And just
I think Senator Hann will probably have to meet. We don't really have general orders left. And what you see on that long list, many of those are bills that are in omnibus bills, or they're bills that are dead because the House didn't move them. So we really don't have any general orders work left to do. What we don't know is what the House is still sitting on to send over to us that we'd need to act on. So I think I'd like to avoid meeting Sunday with a floor session. If we can, we will. But it wouldn't be for us to actually be conducting any new Senate business and sending it over. It would be to receive work that the House sends back to us. And if at some point potentially the Judiciary or the Higher Ed Conference Committees can get closed up. I don't know, are they House files, Senate files? Cinephiles? They're both Cinephiles, so if they could get those closed up in their visor, get them to us, and it was possible for us to take them late Sunday, I guess we probably would. I guess I would say if it looks like we there'd be some business to conduct on Sunday, we'd try to do it later in the day for people so they can spend some time with their families or worship at the place they prefer.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I would be remiss if I didn't speak against this resolution. There's good reason for us not to meet past midnight. First of all, people get tired, and you know, when you're tired, things are not done as well as they should be, first of all. But second of all, the public should not have to sit here and try to figure out what time we're meeting and when we're meeting. Transparency is an issue. If someone does want to attend these meetings, are they really coming here at 2 or 3 in the morning to listen to the Senate or the conference committees? And the other, I think that had we actually gotten the budget deal together, we wouldn't be having to meet it in the middle of the night if this had actually been done on time and we had recognized the fact that we had a deadline. The other issue is, when is the public going to have the opportunity to look at these bills, these big conference committees? And yes, I understand that these bills have been through both bodies, but even still, they deserve the chance to take a look at these bills. And if we're just ramming all of this through so that we can, you know, have this so that we can make our deadline, it's unfair to the public. And to meet at 2 and 3 in the morning is unfair to them, too. So I'm going to be voting against it.
Well, I think who it's hardest on is probably the staff that work for the Senate and the House.
Absolutely.
You know, members, when they adjourn the conference committee, get to go home and go to sleep, and a whole lot of staff around here have to stay and conclude the work of the committee. So I think maybe more to the benefit, the rule, it maybe benefits the staff, that staff the conference committees more than it does the members. But I think the House just didn't quite understand, as much as I tried to sound the alarm bell on the backlog it creates in the revisor's office. It became pretty clear to me this morning when we met with the revisor that they had miscalculated
this
kind of that piece of time that it takes just to do the mechanics.
And
it certainly wasn't intentional. I don't think they're trying to run the clock out. I think there just was a piece they'd never been through before and just miscalculated the timing of how we find ourselves where we are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to vote yes for this. As much as I don't want to, I think at the end of the day I want to get it done, and sometimes when it gets late, we all kind of give in a little bit more, and I think that's what needs to happen. I'm guessing the House has some good idea that I think if he was here, he'd say, no, I knew, you know, what was going on, but at the end of the day, we want to get it done, and so if that's what it takes to do it, then I'm going to vote yes.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am also supporting it, but I do think that this is going to bring back some bad memories of the past. I remember serving on Ag and Natural Resources with Gene Merriam as the chair, and there were evenings and nights, irregardless of the hour, we were there. And so it's not a practice that I think the legislature should promote. And I think it's not good for the legislators, nor is it good for the public, I think, to do this often.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to join Senator Fischbach in voting no. Just like when my kids go out for a weekend, no good decision is made after midnight.
Any other discussion? Senator Sieben moves that Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 33 be introduced as a resolution on behalf of the Senate Rules Committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no.
No.
Motion prevails. We have one other piece of business, one of our closing resolutions. It's the memo on per diem mileage, lodging, and travel expenses during the interim. Council, is this consistent with what we've done in the past?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, the dates have been updated. It is consistent. There are two very minor edits on the last page. The reference to Senate Policy 3.05 was modified basically just to provide a reference to the policy rather than a page number in the policy book. And then the that last paragraph makes it clear that the approval is required before a commitment is made to pay expenses rather than extending an invitation. And those are the only edits made to the document.
Senator Hand, any questions? Senator Hand moves the interim travel and expense per diem memo dated May 15th, 2015. Discussion?
Out of session.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Members, I think this is probably our last Rules Committee meeting in this building for a while. So, Rules Committee is adjourned.